It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call send us a text, 343-0106.
Hey.
Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, your CBD store in West Mobile, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed, yes. We will be there in the morning at 0800. That's the military time.
Yeah, it sounds like 8 o'clock to me.
Okay. 0800 for the South Alabama Veterans Council. All 42 VSOs, meaning veteran service organizations, will be meeting at Ed's and have our little monthly gathering there.
That's pretty impressive. 42?
42. Well, every veteran service organization on the Gulf Coast is a member of the South Alabama Veterans Council.
Okay, does that include American Legion and VFW as
yes,
well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
All of the above.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the fabulous Marine Corps League.
Yep.
Which I happen to be a member
just happened to be a member of.
Just happened to be a member of the Marine Corps League.
Just so happens. But
I gave a speech Saturday at Bimble Square about the charity ALS of Alabama, which is Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
I enjoy doing that, but I met some of the greatest people that you have ever run into, and you look around and said, "Well, hell, I'm okay." You know,
right.
Whatever it is, I'm okay.
Right.
You know, because bless those souls, you know, and they've got that Lou Gehrig's disease, and this disease was recognized in 1859 or somewhere there, but it's been over 150 years.
And no cure.
Right.
And no damn cure. It still has the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. And you and I have a personal friend that has become involved in this scenario.
Right.
And,
right.
But I did get them a contact for, the ALS of Alabama, that they actually have some organization structure there that can help, but we will have that program again next year, and I will be more involved with it. So
it's
neat.
It's hard to believe that we haven't come any further along with treatment.
Well,
fortunately, but unfortunately, there's not enough people stricken with it to make it a main priority.
It's not
the research.
It's not like bras.
It's all about the money.
Bras across the causeway,
right?
With the breast cancer on our ladies and all, But hey, I don't care if it's one person that's got it. I know how devastating it is, and I just continue to pray for them.
Yeah,
and ask the Lord to help them and bless them in every way He sees fit. Let's talk about our little CBD store, West Mobile. Joe Brown has got a little deal going there that I think is very advantageous to a lot of people. And there's been a lot of conversation about CBD and CBD products. But Joe has come up with the CBD store, West Mobile. It has a pop-up store that will come to a location near you. What I'm saying is business owners or office managers, restaurant owners, if you'd like to host a CBD pop-up store at your place of business to educate your clients, employees, or patrons to the benefits of CBD and their support your favorite charity, your CBD store, West Mobile, will bring literature, products, and answer all questions regarding this culture phenomenon. What? I didn't make that class. Well, there you go, sweeping across the country. We will also donate 10% of sales to the charity of your choice. So that's awesome. Contact Joe Brown, 251-583-4049 for more information. And if you want to have him to come to your place of business organization and have a pop-up store there, it's your CBD store of West Mobile, Brother Joe Brown.
Yep. I'll tell you, if anybody hasn't stepped outside lately, there's some wet stuff falling out there. If y'all don't recognize it, it's called rain,
But yeah.
We haven't had any of that lately.
You know, the bad part about it, though, is it's a fine sprinkle.
Yep.
We would be better off if you had one of those body slamming floods that washes all of this grime and oil and stuff off of our pavement out here so that people don't wreck. But this little fine mist that we've got out there could cause you to wreck in a heartbeat.
We need a frog strangler.
We did. Okay, I'll take a frog strangler then. Yeah. That's what you want to call it.
But it's, all that really does is bring the oils to the surface and let you slip and slide.
Right.
A little more,
So. And guys on motorcycles and bicycles and things like that, it's butt-busting time in Alabama is what it is.
Yeah, please be careful out there. But
most of you guys need to rain. Y'all in the motorized wheelchairs, get off the road.
That goes without
saying. Yeah, you know, that's the bad part about that.
I've seen them. They're
I see one.
You got to get someplace.
One that rides up and down the service road out here every now and then at night when we're going back from here over to Cottage Hill on the service road.
We don't even take that service road anymore because too many people out there with dark clothes on. And no
honest reflection. To God, it is. You're up on top of them before you can see them. There was some woman who just walked in front of me. Right, half a block from here.
I think they believe.
And they had all black clothes on, nothing, no reflectors, no nothing. I did not see that person until I was within 20 or 30 feet of them.
They think because they can see the car coming that surely the car can see them.
But you can't see people like that, man.
That's right.
You know, they have nothing reflectory on there that will grab that light and bounce it back to you.
Of course, I guess if you're out there doing things maybe you shouldn't
be
doing.
Well, yeah, you don't want to
stay in disguise.
You don't want to be seen, Charles.
Stay off the road.
Yes.
Yeah, I tell you. But anyway, it is definitely slick out, so be careful. And it just also reminds you that, we need to keep an eye on our tires and wiper blades and all this kind of stuff, nobody ever thinks about their wiper blades until it's raining.
But, let's talk about that just a second. And you're deeper into the industry on the new car side than my voice sounds really deep tonight. What the heck?
Yeah, I know.
You finally reached puberty or something?
I must be full of growth by now. Yeah.
Took one of them male products.
I'm hearing things in my ear that I didn't normally hear.
Yeah.
But what is happening and what has happened to our windshield wipers back in the day? I mean, I sold a zillion pair of them out of my shop, But back then, they were good. Windshield wipers were good for 3 or 4 years, man, or five. But if you get a pair that lasts you 6 months now, I mean, you could buy the top line.
Right.
But what's happening? The windshields can't be rough. I mean, hell, it's slicker, if anything.
Yeah, right. I don't know. We have a lot more chemicals in the air, and I think it's a lot of that's getting on there and degrading the rubber.
Global warming.
Our rubber products that we have on cars are way better than they ever used to be.
They should be,
Our hoses and belts and all those kind
of
things.
Yeah, they're awesome, man. I really enjoy those.
Just don't have a problem with them anymore like we used to. But, wiper blades are an issue. If you get 6, 8 months or a year out of them, you've done well.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just about to the point where if you don't have a spare pair of windshield wiper blades and you go buy a pair, go ahead and get the next set and stick them up on your shelf in your utility room or whatever because you're going to need them in about 5 or 6 months.
And they're not cheap either.
Well,
compared to the way they used to be.
No, but you'd buy a good set of blades for $5-6, back in the day. But now you can't buy cheap ones for that.
Right.
Is it because they don't use real rubber?
No. They should have a better product with all the technology that we've got this day and time.
You would think.
Yeah.
And it's just all about the chemicals and that, and that's in
I
the
think,
air.
Undoubtedly, I think that's where you're at. Yeah.
And,
there's a term for engineering stuff, so it'll wear out.
They call it planned obsolescence.
Obsolescence, that's the word.
I remember that word. I made that class, Charlie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just like anything else. They don't want it to last forever.
If you've got one that'll wipe blades for 100,000 miles, you're not going to sell a lot of blades.
Charlie. That's called planned obsolescence.
That's
that what we're really talking about, Charlie?
I heard that somewhere just recently.
Hey, man, make a washing machine that lasts 40 years now. If you get one that lasts 5 years now, you got a good one.
Exactly.
Planned obsolescence. They got to keep the factories open, man, so they keep making that stuff.
Yeah, and they've gone that way with, say, wiper blades, but, you know, hey, our hoses, belts, plugs, you know, the cars themselves, right, they last right. so much longer now than what yeah. they used to. I'll buy the wiper blades. I'm
yeah,
good with
yeah.
That.
If that's yeah. the only thing I've got to yeah. really worry about, because I can remember having to buy, you know, spark plugs and wires and points and plugs, you know, points and plugs, condenser and cap and rotor button yeah. and all that stuff, you know, every at least once a year.
Right,
just
right.
Tom, you know? I can't help myself. They did not use that on me and you.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's why we're still here.
Oh, that's why we're still
unplanned.
Here. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, we weren't in planned obsolescence period.
That's it.
Right. Oh, I slapped that guy in the face and knocked him out of my damn way. Get off of here. I ain't getting old.
We want to hang around.
Hell yeah.
Sound like it's time to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
One size too small. No spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main frog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. Your torque converter's running low on torque, and that water pump's nearly down a quart. We caught it all in time, so you're in luck. He said, I've got the time and I've got the parts. Just give me the word and I'm ready to start. I think we can bring her in for $800. But don't be downhearted. I can fix it for you, sonny. It won't take too long. It'll just take money.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And believe it or not, whether you could tell or not, we're here to talk about cars tonight.
Oh, so, was that why we come? I thought yeah, it was a BS yeah. session.
Well, I mean, that's usually what it turns into, but that's okay. It sounds like we do have a caller online, yep. though. Caller, you will.
Go for it.
Go ahead, you're on the radio.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your show. I've got a 2004 Chevy Tahoe V8,
mm-hmm.
and when I turn the key in the morning, it'll all want to crank, but it doesn't. And then I'll turn the key off and do it again; it'll fire right up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it may take two attempts before it will fire up. But it doesn't sound like a starter issue. It sounds, you know, I had a friend that. Just a friend, and I'm trying to see if this is true or not. Maybe it's a relay switch of some kind. Can you help me out?
It's entirely possible. Now, when you say it doesn't start, does it not spin over at all?
The engine will not spin over. That's correct.
Okay. Yep. You know, and
the key you know, on this, it's got like an electric start, I guess. You know, when you turn the key, it gives it so long before it'll give up.
Right, right.
It'll just give it that long, and then it'll give up. And so I'll turn it off and turn it back on, and it'll fire right up.
Yeah. Now, but the starter is not turning the motor over at all when you do this, and it won't start?
It doesn't sound like it's engaging. You know, it just doesn't sound like it's not struggling to start. You know, like in the old days, you kind of pump the pedal or whatever to get it just doesn't give you that long, if that makes sense, before the starter doesn't seem like it's
right
spin at all.
Okay, I mean, all right, and I need to get past one point here. Does the motor roll over at all? Does the starter turn the motor at all, and it just will not catch and crank?
No.
Okay, so you've either got a starter problem or possibly a relay problem. You know. Does it crank fine the rest of the day?
Yes, but you know, every once in a while, not every time. Every time. I'll sit in the parking lot after running it, and I'll try two times before it will finally crank.
Right.
I've had starter issues before, and it just doesn't feel like that. But then again, I don't know anything. You know, that's why I'm calling you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple things. You know, you'd want to know if you're hearing any kind of clicking noise at the starter when you go to crank it.
No.
So it's not making a noise there. The next thing is on the relay center underneath the hood is where the starter relay is, and you'd want to have someone actually just put their hand on it and see if it clicks when you try and crank it. If it does and it still does not crank, you know, a relay is cheap, or you can actually just swap one in that fuse panel, see what it does. You know, if that fails and nothing really changes, you know, the next thing I would do is get down to at the starter on the exciting wire and see if I'm actually getting a signal down to the starter to crank. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if you're getting your voltage down there to crank and it's not spinning it over, then you've got a starter problem. Yeah.
I got you.
So, right. Just have to kind of eliminate a couple things, you know.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
All right.
Well, I do appreciate your help, guys. We'll appreciate your show.
All right. Thank you. But, you know, there's, you know, with that kind of age, you know, there's several things that could be, you know.
Watch
you
talk about age, Sam. Come on. Get off of this age kick.
Well, you know, hey, you're just talking about having to, you know, get things checked out yourself. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I had to go get a tune-up.
Yeah. Get a tune-up.
Yeah. Got new spark plugs, you know, voice condenser.
Yeah.
New wires.
You know, they, more than likely it's probably a starter or something along those lines.
Yeah. Well, you gave him the two areas that's really in Pacific that he needs to check, and that was the relay on the one hand. You gave him a simple way to do that, and the starter on the other hand. You gave him a simple way to do that. Either you got juice there to it or not.
Right.
If you do have, then you know where to go. You know.
Right.
You know what
right.
to do. So, but let me run this one by you. Okay. I know we got some other people gonna call in here in a minute and give us some questions that we can't answer. But I got a caller that had talked to me earlier about a 2015 Silverado 1500 that actually had replaced the motor. Uh-huh. And after the motor was changed out on it, because the other motor went bad.
Right.
Then it will, you know, it starts fine, but then you go to accelerate and it stalls.
Right.
So, you know, it didn't change any of those components, you know. But the other motor, as I say, the other motor was bad, had been running bad for a pretty good while.
Right. Well, and what's going on is the exhaust has actually stopped up.
Uh-oh.
Due to the catalytic converters.
They put somebody put taters in it or what?
No, it's just all the
Charlie Quick Life
oil and unburnt fuel and that will get in there and damage the converter, and it'll clog it up. And it does not let the exhaust flow out, and that back pressure will actually just smother the motor out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, in other words, this is one of those scenarios when we start getting a miss, or we start getting a blinking light or check engine light or something like that on our vehicle, and we're getting an error in the performance of that motor, then it's not burning the fuel right now. So that accumulates in the converter, and then does it just stop it up, or does it cause it to burn out?
It can do either. When you have a misfire or – and there's a couple scenarios that will make your check engine light flash going down the road, okay?
All right.
When your check engine light is flashing going down the road, it is telling you that you are in a catalyst-damaging condition, okay? Your motor is in a state to where it will damage the catalytic converter, okay? Or could if you don't get it shut down shortly.
Okay? Oh, okay, because that kind of reverts back to one of the things that we had here a couple of weeks ago where we had codes on the car, and then we went and replaced that component that the code was had listed.
Right.
And it didn't fix it.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we get this signal from our computer that indicates we have a problem that's going to cause us a potential bigger problem.
Right.
So we need to check it and find out what's happening.
Yep, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, ride around with the check engine light on, if everything's running good, you know, yeah, something's not quite right. But is it really going to affect it that much? Maybe not. But the problem is if you have another problem pop up, the light doesn't get brighter. It doesn't, you know, burn at a different color.
Right.
It's just still on. So you don't know that you have an additional problem unless it gets into a misfire or something along those lines and makes it flash. So that's why it's so important to keep that check engine light turned off. If you have a problem, get it checked, get it fixed. That way your check engine light can do its job and let you know when something pops up. And, you can get in there and get it taken care of before it creates more problems. Yeah.
Yep. So that's a warning. You're fixing to spend some money unless you check me soon.
Right. Every day I deal with situations where people have been somewhere, bought parts, spent money to have things fixed without doing a diagnosis on a vehicle.
Right, just reading the codes.
Just by reading codes or taking a guess at it.
Well, you know what that really is, Kevin? That's a damn parts seller.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, is a code reader not a good investment then?
Well, it's great to have.
Yeah.
Well,
you just use it right, though, right, Kevin?
Yeah, if you got a if you have a problem with a car, okay, check engine light comes on, you need to know what that code is because it will send you in a direction to go check. Okay, but just because you have a code for something does not mean that that is what's wrong with your car.
That component is in the area where the problem is.
Maybe not, but it is getting a bad signal because of something, or it could be the component itself maybe failed. But and a prime example is a mass airflow sensor or a intake manifold pressure sensor. If you have a car running bad, your airflow signal coming into the motor is not going to be smooth and steady, or the manifold pressure is not going to be at a steady rate or at the proper rate, and it's going to set those two codes, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with those two components. Yeah. You could have a mechanical problem. You could have a vacuum leak. You could have
an intake
air hose. You could have a stopped up air filter. So,
right.
You know, there's so many things that can cause that. But you know that if you have those two codes, it is a airflow problem. Something is creating an airflow problem that is making those sensors not read properly.
So the code reader tells you where you can start at.
It just gives you a direction to go look.
Right.
You know, so it gives you a starting point.
There you go. You usually go in front of wherever that component's at.
Right. But it looks like we've come up to our midpoint break here, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
Welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Is the text machine actually working?
It is pulled up and working. I sent a text message to myself, so I know it is working. So,
did you ask yourself a question, or was it just a test?
No, because I knew I'd probably lie to myself, so I didn't bother. So, we do have a couple callers on.
Wow. He might ask himself the wrong question.
That's right.
Now let's do it this way. This is going to throw everybody off. Hey, caller, hang on. We got one other person on the line. Don't go away. This is the Car Doctor Show. You're on the radio.
Good evening, fellas. How are y'all?
Great. How are you?
Good. Kevin, I got a question. I just wanted to know your opinion of oil additives. Do you recommend them? Are they snake oil? Or can they actually do some good?
Yeah, there's some stuff out there that is good. Probably, you know, if you're trying to fix a problem with an oil additive, then yeah, it's snake oil. Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you what I use. It's been in the trucking industry for like 25 years. Mm-hmm. It's not that well known in the automotive industry. It's a product called Motor Coat, and they actually say it's not an additive; it's a hyper lubricant.
Right.
uses the oil to carry it to where it needs to go.
Right, right.
And I have had really good luck with it, but I didn't know as far as some of the other products on the market, you know.
Is that designed specifically for diesels, or is it gas burners too?
No, sir. It can go in gas or diesel.
Right.
You put it in the oil?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
in the crankcase. Sure,
yeah, there's some stuff out there that, there's some additives that will stick to the metals better, soak in a little bit on certain kind of metals that are beneficial. There's some things like on the Ford diesels that use oil to activate the injectors. A stiction additive is good for them, so I'm not going to say all of it is a snake oil. I'm not huge on additives. I will use them from time to time for certain things. In transmissions, they're great for certain type shutters or sticky valves in the valve body, that kind of thing. But as far as, if you get into one that's burning oil or something along those goofy lines,
all that
good
stuff's probably not going to be much good.
But you waited too long.
There's no mechanic. You can't get a mechanic in a can.
Yeah, well, they sell that, but it don't work.
Hear you. All right, Kevin, I appreciate your information, buddy, and enjoy the show.
All right, thank you.
Yes,
yeah, that mechanic in the can, it ain't much better than some of the ones I know. Okay,
well, some of that, But, you could get a GMC can, and get a mechanic coming.
It works on Sunday. Let's see if this other caller hung on.
Go ahead.
Call you with us.
Yes, sir. This is Terry out in 8 Mile. I talk to y'all every now and then.
All right, Terry.
Got one I wanted to run by y'all on an old 95 Sedan DeVille Cadillac.
Okay.
We retired her, but I try to crank her up every week or two, keep the battery charged, but I let it get out of mine and dead battery, so I put the charger on her, got her going, and forgot about her.
Right.
So she sat out there and ran out of gas.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like something I do.
That's where the problem started. Now I went and got gas put in her, and she wouldn't start. She wouldn't start. And then eventually she'll start, but it's only idle, and if you touch the accelerator at all, it dies.
Yeah.
And I said, I think we've got some trash in the fuel injectors, but I don't really know about these later model vehicles.
Yeah.
I've never dealt with injectors. I don't know if they could be removed, cleaned, or if they have to be replaced, or what to do, really, or if that is even the problem, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things, and for a do-it-yourselfer, it's a little hard to check, but, one of the first things I would do is pull a fuel sample. That fuel rail actually has a fuel pressure tap on it. It's a good place to try and pull a fuel sample from to find out. Yeah, and find out how much, pull a sample, let it sit in like a glass jar or something for, 30 minutes or so and see if anything separates. See if you got water or anything in it or trash settles in the bottom, whatever. If that is really clean, then, it's probably okay. Another problem that I have seen with that particular car is the injectors themselves. The resistance value will go way low on them, and it will cause a problem with the injection system. Sitting up is kind of a prime way for that to happen. If all you've been doing is cranking it, letting it sit and idle, you may not have noticed that you may have had this problem coming for a little while. Then when you put gas in it, crank it, try and rev it up a few times, that kind of stuff. Maybe it, is just kind of showing up.
It would run like a scalded dog up until the point where I let it sit out there and run until it ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And at that point, it don't want to run anymore.
Right. And about how many miles, how much fuel was in it? How long did it sit out there and run?
It sat out there and run probably 6 hours, a half tank of gas or close to it.
Yeah.
At idle, and then died when it ran out.
Right.
And it hadn't wanted to run since.
Right.
And I said I drove it pretty regularly before then. The dash cluster burned out on it, and you couldn't tell anything, how much fuel you had, how fast you were going. So, I mean, the car's got less than 100,000. I think I might have 100,000 miles on it now. It had 51 when I got it.
Right, right.
But it had so much power and smooth riding, and it was just a pleasure to drive.
Okay.
Beautiful car, but leather seats and all that stuff, and I just hate to see it sitting out there covering up in pine straw, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, there's
but
a couple things.
I don't really
things.
Know for sure whether pull injectors, if you can do anything to clean them, or if you have to replace them, or what to do there.
Yeah, there's a couple things that you need to check before you go that far. You know, one thing, I'd pull a fuel sample. Also, while you're right there at that point, check fuel pressure, see if you've got adequate fuel pressure. It could have damaged the pump running it dry, or if there was trash in the bottom of the tank, you got all the way down to that point, and it you know, may have pulled the trash out of the bottom.
Right.
You know,
may have fouled up the pump instead of the injectors, huh?
Exactly. So, you want to make sure which direction you're needing to chase. If you don't have to pull the injectors out, then don't go there. You know, so.
You know, off the top of your head, what sort of pressure it should have at the manifold?
Unless I'm severely wrong, it's somewhere around 50 pounds, 45 to 50 pounds.
Okay.
You know,
Good info. Like I say, I might get some spare time, get out there and tinker with it and try to pinpoint where the problem is.
Right.
But I feel like some trash messed up something somewhere, you know, when it ran out of gas.
Right, right. Or just running the pump out.
Like a brand new one up until that point, and then it won't start, you know.
Right. I understand. Excuse me.
Well, I do appreciate y'all's show, and I'll hang up and let somebody else get on or let y'all talk.
All right.
Have a great one.
Well, I appreciate you listening and calling in.
Thank you, Terry.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Can in that regard, could he, since it will run in idle, could he put something like, I had it on the end of my tongue.
Like Tecron or something?
Yeah, Tecron or either Seafoam is what the word I was looking for.
It really depends on what's going on. I mean, that's another one of those things you really need to know what's wrong before you go there.
But
you know?
Could possibly help clean your fuel system out, putting some Tektron in it or some Seafoam.
Yeah, very possible. You know, it just depends on.
I'd rather do that than I had to start pulling the injectors.
Yeah, if you've got enough fuel pressure, then I might go there, you know, first.
Okay.
You know, heck, it may have picked up a piece of trash and hung a fuel pressure regulator open, you know, where it's not building the pressure it should. It can be a lot of things. I mean, it really can, you know, and idling for 6 hours is not a good thing. You know, most vehicles, it may have, you know, gas fouled plugs or, you know, could have done a lot of different things.
All the above, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we got a break, let me talk a little bit about the your CBD store of West Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
There's some misunderstanding by a lot of people in regards to how many milliliters that you're supposed to take with the product when you're putting it under your tongue or what have you. But you know, you need your daily dose of your CBD so that you can get started and end your day on a healthy note. And if you go out to your CBD store in West Mobile out on Hillcrest at Greelot and see Mr. Joe Brown out there, he's actually got a printed chart out where it shows. I'll give you an example. If you bought a product that's got 1,000 milligrams of CBD in it, then if you wanted to take or if you're supposed to take a half a dropper, that would be like 16.7 milligrams, okay? But now if your product only had 250 milligrams CBD in it, then you would, and you take a half a dropper, you're only getting 4 milligrams. So you need to know and have one of these charts available,
right?
So that you can determine, and all you got to do is look on the bottle that you're taking, and it'll tell you whether it's 1,000 milligrams, 750 milligrams, or 500 milligrams, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then you can look on your chart, and you know you're supposed to take, you know, 3/4 of a dropper or half a dropper, and then that's going to tell you how many milligrams that you're taking. So I really appreciate him and that your CBD store company of putting out those charts, because I think there's just so much going on now with CBD and what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do that I think we need to have a little bit better understanding on how we judge what portion of
right.
liquid that we're supposed to be taking.
Well, and I'm sure it's based on the size person probably or whatever,
well,
you know. So there's so many places out there selling it that, you know there's a bunch of places selling it that don't know anything about it.
Right. You know, hey, I went to Floribama Saturday, and got a lot of tickets. And when I was going by the shrimp festival over there, but there was a jillion sunbookers over there. And I said, nah, I'm not going in there. You know, I'm a little bit too old for all that stuff, put up with all that traffic. But I looked on the shelf at Floribama where you got the lotto tickets.
Right.
And they got a stack of CBD stuff here, you know.
Right.
So I just asked the lady, I said, well, what does this do for you? I don't know. We just sell it.
Yeah.
I said, well, what does this one do here? I don't know. We just sell it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, in other words, you can't tell me how to use the product or anything? I don't know damn thing about it. I said, okay. I thought I'd just ask. You know, so this is what we're getting with it.
At least they were honest.
They're honest. Yeah. But everybody's got the product, so you need to go to somebody that will get you on the straight and narrow.
Right.
And that's to see Joe Brown, Brother Joe Brown out there at the Euro CBD store of Westmobile on Hillcrest at Greelock, across from the Waffling House.
Yep.
Have we gotten a single text tonight?
No. Well, yeah. Well, everybody, did. I did.
Besides the one that you sent.
Besides the one I sent? No, we didn't get another one.
Okay. So. Well, they do know they can do the same number, 343-0106.
Yeah. Sounds like it's time to take a break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Still no text.
And speaking of text, if you let me finish.
Bingo.
All right.
We have two here from Michelle Rapid Ray's daughter.
Oh, Rapid Ray's still in town. I thought maybe he'd move.
Yep.
Michelle, by the way, we're the only show on the radio that gives out senior discounts.
Right.
Is it okay to spray tire shine on painted bumpers to keep the bugs from sticking to the bumpers and also the headlights?
I got a better problem.
Yeah, there's other stuff for that.
Pam. You know,
Pam will do it.
Borrow your mama's Pam can in the kitchen and go out there and spray that Pam on it.
Yeah, some kind of nose stick.
A little light coat of that little, you know, lubricant.
And, you know, if we're talking about like a black painted bumper that's, you know, like a rubber type bumper.
Right.
Tire shine will work on it.
Yeah, but
and it,
not,
and
not on the painted. We don't need to put it on a painted surface.
Yeah, on the painted surface is probably not the best thing, you know, and on your headlights. And also, you know, one of the things that we need to remember is just good wax will do wonders for keeping that stuff off. And it gives a sacrificial coat that you can clean off, you know, to remove any kind of bug stuff from your paint or the headlights. You can wax your headlights as well. Yeah, so just a good coat of good car wax and clean it off.
Yeah,
and,
I used to use – we had a product that we'd buy. I don't see it much around here anymore, but it's called Quick Shine 99.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those spray-on, wipe-off deals.
Right.
So you don't have to get a paste wax and all to do that with.
Yep. And it does a good job.
Yeah, DuPont or just about, I don't know, there's probably 6 or 8 or 10 of those light liquid spray wax things that you could spray on there and just wipe off with a cloth. You don't have to sit there and polish it and buff it and everything.
Right. And I use a lot of it. It's like a quick detailer where you can get in there just do some quick wax or detail with.
Yeah. Is that stuff, I know we're getting off his subject, but what about, we're talking about spraying stuff, but what about on the dash pads in the cars?
Yeah.
What should we put on there to keep those things from cracking?
Well, I don't know if anything's really going to stop it except for a windshield shield, you know, sunshade.
Okay. You mean ray protector?
Right. Something to cover the dash. You know, I had a old 90 model Chevrolet truck that those are notorious for the dash just falling apart on, back in the day. But mine was perfect after 270 something thousand miles on it. But it had one of those carpeted dash pad covers on it from day one. And,
oh, okay.
I had zero problem.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, and the Dodge trucks I know have, you know, I have one. They had issues with the dash cracking up and falling out of them and everything else. You know, and it's just all about keeping them out of the sun is the big thing. That UV is what gets it.
There's no mechanic in a can for that either.
No, I mean, they have protectant and conditioners and stuff to put on them, and it helps, but it's the real cure is just keeping it out of the sun.
Keeping UV rays off of it, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What
else? You got another one?
No.
That was one,
but,
okay.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about
it. I'm glad that she woke Ray up and got him to listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So she could send us a text. You know, Ray, I think Ray sleeps a lot at night early there.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about UJ Chevrolet tonight if we can.
I'll get a phone call about that. But, yeah, let's talk about UJ.
Yeah, we've heard of UJ.
Yeah. My employer, one of the main sponsors of our show here, UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer. Been around since 1939.
Woo!
A long time.
I remember that year.
Yeah. Well, I don't. But,
I do.
I can remember the number, but I wasn't
around.
Here,
I was around then.
That was before Kevin went to work there.
Oh, Kevin wasn't even a dream in his daddy's eye then. Talking about?
No. So, but yeah, you know, great place to be. Great place to work. You know, great people around there.
A lot of excitement about the 2020 cars.
Let me ask you this: I know everybody's wanting to ask it. What is the strike bothering you guys?
It is affecting some of our ability to get parts and some of our ability to get new cars in at this point. We've pretty much got all the cars that we're going to get for a little while.
Okay.
If they go off strike tomorrow and go back to work, it's going to be a little while before we get some more.
How long is that food chain from say, a production of the vehicles until such time as we would have them reach down here into this area?
About 6 weeks
really?
Or so.
All right, okay.
If you're going to order a car, it's somewhere around 6 weeks leeway, give or take a little bit.
But, so what you're saying is if it takes 6 weeks for us to get new vehicles in from the date of production, then – the last 6 weeks that we've had, I guess five of them have been strikes. We have been depleting our source of parts, pieces, and cars and trucks.
Yep. So, I mean, I guess with all that being said, right now we still have a pretty good selection.
Well, I see driving by there. It looks like y'all got a lot full of stuff, man.
Yeah, we've got a really good selection out there.
So there's no problem with
it. We were planning ahead on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been in business a few years. You know?
Yeah. But that being said, you know, if you're in the market for a new car, I think if you want to have a good selection, I would get out there sooner rather than later.
Right.
You know, there's still good incentives and good motivation to let one go at this point.
Really good deals.
Yeah. Yeah, that may start to change somewhere down the road, you know, when things get a little more scarce. But if you're going to do it, let's get it done. And not wait the last minute.
Well, you still have some late 18s and a lot of 19s out there. Any of the 20s started coming in?
Oh yeah, we got some of the 20 models on the ground, the trucks and 3/4 ton trucks. You know, it was kind of neat. We had one of the customers we had sold a 3/4 ton with the 6.6 liter gas burner motor, which is new for us this year for the 20s. He's had it long enough now to have I think he's got about 5,000 or 6,000 miles on it. Uses it quite a bit, and he's had some very impressive fuel economy out of
that big a motor.
Yeah. You know, and we always had the preconception there that the old 6 liter in the HD trucks, it was a gas hog. It'd pull anything, go anywhere, and never fail, but it was a gas hog.
We've got the computers and all this fuel injection, electronic fuel injection and all now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we had that kind of then, too.
Well,
but
it
this
was
stuff
in the early stages.
Yeah, but I tell you what, this 6.6 is it's turning out to be a pretty good motor so far. You know, fuel economy is really impressive for the size vehicle and the power you're getting.
Well, that's to say it's a 3/4 ton, though. That's really a good work truck or, you know, something for pulling a trailer or hauling heavy loads or moving stuff around, you know.
Big boat.
Right. And you know, he's pulling pulling trailers with hay and tractors and this kind of stuff with it, and still getting pretty impressive fuel economy for a gas burner. Yeah,
neat.
And pulling a pretty hefty load. I mean, it's like a 30,000-pound tractor.
Yeah, if he's doing that and he's still getting what he's considered a reasonable amount of fuel mileage after he's, I'm sure he's had a lot of other vehicles over the years that he wasn't really satisfied with the fuel mileage on.
Well, he's had diesel to compare it to, and, you know, honestly, he's pretty comparable to what the diesel numbers are fuel economy-wise.
No kidding.
Which is pretty impressive out of a gas burner.
Well, hell yeah, especially when diesel fuel is about 40, 50 cents a gallon higher.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I don't think it will ever come back down where it's cheaper than gas.
No, they have, I don't know, they played that game and got the fuel, I mean, the diesel fuel price up to where they're happy with it at this point.
Right. Well,
the difference between it and gas. They're going to keep it that way. Yeah, what used to be a byproduct and said, we got to do something with it, so let's make diesel.
But they had to take the sulfur out of it, so it cost more.
Exactly.
Saturday, a good day to come out and look for a deal?
We're open 6 days a week, so any day. Saturday's always a good day.
I'm just thinking of the millions that go out to the flea market just around the corner.
Walk around on Sunday if you wanted to.
Well, the millions that pass by every day
hour of the day,
on Airport Boulevard. If you're out that way, I can guarantee you the traffic is always always flowing throughout there. But we're been there a long time, got a good selection, and love to see you come out. But it sounds like we've run to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we will be back next week.
Y'all have a blessed day. Big old hoorah to all of our bets.
Lincoln was setting that pace. Story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor, really souped up. Model A body makes it look real tough. Got 8 cylinders, use them all. Got overdrive, never stalls. A 4-barrel.